service before we get too far. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your presence that we're already feeling this place tonight, Lord God. We ask, Lord, that you would step into this place and take control of everything that goes on, Lord. Touch every mind and every heart, Lord God. Draw us closer to you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord God, that gives us light, Lord God, and gives us direction, Lord Jesus. Speaking to every life tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. You know, there's something about us men. It doesn't matter where are we going, how far it is, we never want to ask for directions. And we don't like using maps. I heard about these three men. They were out hiking through the wilderness, and they came upon this violent, raging river, and they needed to get to the other side. Hello, fishing trip. The first man prayed, "God, please give me the strength I need to get to the other side." And poof, instantly, he had big muscles, and he swam to the other side in 2 hours. Seeing that, the second man said, "God, give me the strength and the tools I need to make it across." And poof, God gave him a boat, and he was able to row across in 30 minutes. The next man said, "God, give me the strength, the tools, and the intelligence to get across the river." And poof, God gave him a map. He looked at the map, hiked 5 minutes upstream, and walked across the bridge. In John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus gives us a roadmap. He gives us directions. And I trust the sound booth has the scriptures I sent them. Praise God. John chapter 3, starting at verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God." And a lot more than that. "For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" That would be a little uncomfortable. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Everyone. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master or teacher of Israel, and you don't know these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Praise God. If you couldn't tell already, the key verse here is verse 3. This passage is all about being born again. Five times in 10 verses, Jesus uses the phrase born again. So this is a passage about being born again. Tonight I want to attempt to give us some signs that will help you get yourself and others to heaven. That's an important thing to do, amen? I would say the most important. First, Jesus knows the condition of our heart. Our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord. John 2:23-25 says, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." Another one of my favorite scriptures here, Hebrews 4:12-13 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You see, we may not know what our true reason for doing something or not doing something is, but the Lord does. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Well, what's that verse saying? That verse is saying that we cannot hide anything from the Lord because he sees it all. He hears it all. He knows it all. When we think we're in a dark corner somewhere doing something or saying something or thinking something that we shouldn't, he already knows. That's why when we come to the altar, when we say we're laying it all bare and we have in the back of our mind, we're going to hide something from him. He already knows it. Just lay it at the altar. Just put the burden down. Second, you can know about Jesus and not have a personal relationship with him. You see, you can know somebody and not really know them. You know, I know who the president of the United States is, Donald J. Trump. But does that mean that I know him on a personal basis, that I know what his favorite meal is, that I know what his favorite show is, that I know whatever? But Jesus Christ knows us from the inside out. Jesus Christ knows every thought and every feeling and every bad attitude we ever thought about having. John 3:1 says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews." Nicodemus is a ruler in the Sanhedrin. He's a moral man. He's looked up to. He's thought highly of. He's a disciplined man. He holds the word of God tightly. A civic leader, a religious leader. He's memorized the whole Old Testament. But he seems to be open-minded. You know, I wrestled with that part of it. He was open-minded, but he came to Jesus at night. That's kind of like people trying to live for God on Wednesday night and Sunday morning and living like a devil during the week. We have got to have the word of God in our hearts and minds at all times. We have got to keep our relationship with Jesus Christ at all times. You see, I don't care what the world thinks about me being a Christian. I don't care what the world thinks about me being Holy Ghost filled, speaking with tongues. I don't care that the world knows that I've been baptized in Jesus' name. I'm going to stand for the word of God no matter what. I ain't trying to hide from anybody. You see, the word of God is yea and amen at all times. Whether you're on your job, whether you're in a gym, whether you're out in public somewhere, you have got to take a stand for Jesus Christ, to take a stand for his word, to take a stand for righteousness and holiness at all times. You see, our life does preach to people. We don't necessarily have to tell people all the time, yes, I am a Christian. Yes, I am baptized in Jesus' name. Yes, I am filled with the Holy Ghost. But they will see you, how you act and how you react every day. And the way that we act and the way that we react and the way that we love people and the way that we reach out to people and the way that we are there for people will preach to more and to people a lot more than trying to preach down somebody's throat. As I'm doing right now. But seriously, we have got to hold to the word of God. You know, I ain't trying to live my life 1 foot in church and 1 foot out of church. You see, we live in a very dark day and time. We live in a day and time where we see the day approaching. We see the day of his return. I want both my feet firmly planted in the church. Yes, hallelujah. You see, even though Nicodemus is a civic leader, he's a religious leader, he's highly thought of and held in high standard, he's still as lost as a pimp, a prostitute, or a meth addict. You see, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Well, what exactly is that? What is being born of the water and of the Spirit? Is it your natural birth? No, that would be your first birth. That wouldn't be a born-again situation. That wouldn't be a rebirth. That would be a birth. Second Timothy 3:7 says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, I coming up, I really, really, really wanted to go to one of our Bible colleges and our seminary. I ended up having to go to a denominational Bible college, a denominational seminary. And there were men of God that was there. Professors there that knew a lot about the Bible. I'll never forget this one professor. He taught the book of Acts. He thought he was teaching the book of Acts. And he had never given an A to anybody. But every time I walked into that class, we had open discussion. And every time I let him know exactly what the book of Acts was. And every time, the students started listening to me more than the professor. Because there's nothing like, you can have all the head knowledge in the world that you want to have. You can have 15 different doctorate degrees and not come to the knowledge of the truth. Who knows more? The person that has been teaching and learning all this and has all this in their head, or someone that has the Word of God written on their heart, that has the Holy Ghost, that's been living it, not just teaching it, but living it. Ask most people how you know you're going to heaven. And I've heard answers like, well, I haven't killed anybody yet. You know, I'm a good person. I go to church every once in a while. John 3:2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. John 9:4, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. John 11:10, but if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. John 13:30, so after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out and it was night. It was night. You see, metaphorically, night represents sin. In John's Gospels, it refers to over and over again to moral, spiritual darkness. And self-righteousness is deep darkness. He also comes at night, perhaps because he is embarrassed. You see, they are already wanting to put Jesus Christ to death and every one of his followers with him. But you have to take a stand. You have to believe. You can't go to heaven unless you are born again. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What is born again? What is born again? It's talking about being born a second time, being born from above. Talking about a brand new you. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Well, how does he take something that's full of sin, full of darkness, takes his red blood and washes it and makes it white as snow? Through baptism. Being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of those sins, for those sins to be washed away, never to be remembered again, and to be filled with the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking with other tongues. Acts 2:38-39, then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm sure that most everybody, in fact, I know that most everybody in here has been baptized and been filled with the Holy Ghost, so I'm speaking to the choir tonight. But there's two commands and a promise found in Acts 2:38. The first command is to repent. To repent. To turn away from the way that you're going, the sinful way, the worldly way that you're going, and to turn the way of the cross. Turn to Jesus. And the promise, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, everybody in here may have been baptized in Jesus' name. filled with the Holy Ghost. But I'm pretty assured tonight that not everybody in our family has been baptized in Jesus' name. Not everybody in our family has been filled with the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking with other tongues. We have got to take the word of God. We have got to come to Jesus as Nicodemus did and allow him to build our faith, to take a step closer to him so that we can reach our family members, so that we can reach our neighbors, so that we can reach our friends. You know, that's the only reason that I stay involved in a community. That's the only reason why I'm on the board of the Prowler football team. Well, I love football too. But I want my life to be an example for others. I want my life to be a light for others. That's why I'm becoming a chaplain with the King Police Department. I want to be a light to those officers and people in the community. We are called to be ministers, to take that promise and to apply it in reaching out to others. You see, there's a lot of people that are walking in darkness. There's a lot of people that are lost. There's a lot of people that are hurting. And God has called each and every one of us to minister to those, to reach out to those, to be involved in our community, and to be a light in darkness. The whole concept of born is such a wonderful metaphor for salvation. What did you have to do to be born? Not a lot, huh? Was a lot of planning involved with you being born? Did you have to work hard to be born? No, you didn't. And we don't have to work hard for salvation. The grace of God has provided that. Being born again is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. John 3:4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? In other words, he's saying, I'm too old. It's too late for me. All of his life, he thought he was doing religiously what he was supposed to do to be approaching God and gaining salvation. Jesus' reply in John 3:5 said, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Water and spirit. Remember, Nicodemus is thinking it's impossible to start over. How can a man be born when he is old? 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. There's nothing you can do to gain or to earn salvation. You can be the most perfect person that ever walked the face of the earth, and you're still born in sin and shaping in iniquity. But the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank God for his blood. Thank God for his love, his mercy, his grace. Ezekiel 36:26-27. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Praise God. I don't know about you, but when I came to Jesus, I was a rough somebody. I'm open and honest about everything. I was a drinking, fighting. If you looked at me the wrong way, I'd slap you in the face, somebody. That's a God's honest truth. But because of the love, the mercy, and the grace of Jesus Christ, because I got tired of living the way I was living, I turned to Jesus. Repented, was baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. And God changed the way that I acted and reacted, the way that I lived my life. Yes, praise God. You probably wouldn't have wanted to know me before I was in church. But the thing is, we got to take that gift that God gives us. When he takes us and changes our minds and changes our heart, we've got to take that gift and we've got to bring it to those that don't know the way. You see, I believe that God is going to be reaching for our family members, our friends, our co-workers, through us. Because they're going to see that we're for real. They're going to see the change that God has done in our lives. They're going to see our lives, and our lives are going to preach to them. John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You see, you cannot become born again through acts of the flesh. You could be a multi-billionaire and give away every penny you have and it wouldn't earn you salvation. You could run into a burning building and save 100 people and it wouldn't earn you salvation. It takes God. John 3:7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Being born again takes a step of faith. As we come to the music, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. John 3:8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You see, some people say, yeah, I repeated a preacher's prayer that way, and therefore I have the Spirit of God. Or I believe, so I have the Spirit of God. But that's not what the Word of God says. To be born again takes a step of faith. Nicodemus answered in John 3:9-13, and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Like I said before, each and every one of us may have been baptized in Jesus' name. Each and every one of us may have been filled with His Spirit, evidenced by speaking with other tongues. But we've been given a commission. We have been given a duty to reach those around us. No, you may not be preaching to everyone. But as Pastor Davis said, you can bet your last dollar the people around you are watching. As we all stand together, is there somebody that you know of that needs to be sitting here tonight? Maybe a relative. Maybe a friend. Maybe a neighbor. God, help us to be witnesses. We are called to witness of His greatness, of His love, of His mercy, of His grace. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God, help us to reach those that we love and we care about. God, work in us and work through us to touch the lives of those around us. We live in such a violent day. Such a violent day. Who are you reaching out to? Who are you trying to bring to Jesus? These altars are open. I don't know about you, but as I was putting this together, I felt pricked in my heart. I need to do more. It's not enough that me and my wife and my children are ready, but my brother has to be ready. His family has to be ready. My friends at the gym have to be ready to meet Jesus. Our friends and our family members have to be ready. They have to be born again. I know it's tough sometimes witnessing. I know we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But I'd rather hurt somebody's feelings and see them make it to heaven than not hurt somebody's feelings and see them go to hell. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us to be sensitive. Help us to be submissive, Lord, when You speak to us, Lord, to touch that life, Lord God, to give them a word, Lord God. Help us to be obedient. Lord, use us, Lord God. Lord, help us tonight.